All right. And again, we are honored to have Sister Krista Zepeda. I hope I said her last name properly. We really appreciate Sister Krista. She has a great spirit, a great attitude, and a great testimony. We're happy to have her this morning. I'm going to go ahead and hand it to her now. Sister Krista, go right ahead.
Thank you, Brother Vic. I really appreciate. I do want to mention, I do appreciate everything that you do for the church, doing all these devotionals, and I know it goes without saying from all of us, thank you for all that you do. I also want to give honor to Pastor and, of course, our pastor's wife, Sister Clark. I don't know, again, where I would be without them, and I hope and pray that they're both resting and feeling better each day. I had something on my heart, and I wasn't sure if I was really going to talk about it. I'm not the best speaker. I tend to jumble. My mind is like a cluster, so I just kind of say things and I bounce around, and I really hope that I can convey what God has put on my heart today. So I do want to talk about trust and faith. So I'll start off with a scripture, of course, a well-known scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I was always quite frustrated with faith. I understood trust to a certain extent, but if you look at the word trust, it's kind of based largely on when you trust somebody, you kind of have a long-running history with them, and that's how you create trustworthiness. So if this person always comes through every single day with something, you end up trusting it. So it's based largely on evidence that is real according to the senses and, of course, to our human reasoning. And, of course, our human reasoning is not the best at times. But faith is firm persuasion. It's the substance of hope. To have faith is to relinquish trust in oneself and to put that trust in another. And so, of course, they go together. But faith is literally, you don't have to have evidence. It's just like, you hear it all the time when people are like, oh, I just know. It's confidence. It's you just know that that person is going to do it, or you just know that God is going to do it. So I want to, let's see. So back in March, before COVID exploded in the world and wreaked havoc on my life, as well as many others and everyone, Brother Azar came to visit our church, and he was, of course, talking about Lebanon and all the great things that God was doing there. Meanwhile, I'm in my pew seat, and I'm complaining in my head. I'm complaining that, God, when am I going to get a different job? God, I'm so tired. God, when am I going to have a home? God, when this? God, when that? And I feel bad because more than half of that service, I was trying to pay attention, but I was so in my head. And as clear as day, if you guys have never been disciplined or chastised by the Lord, you will know when it happens to you. It was like I was complaining, doing all these things in my head, and God basically came through and was like, basically, how dare you? Have I not given you everything that you have ever needed in life? I've given you family. I've given you certain people. I've clothed you. I have put a roof over your head. I have provided that you have a job, education. Like, he did all these things, and I could do nothing but just cry in my pew. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realize, like, you know, we get stuck in our little bubble of like, woe is me a lot of times, especially just when life is overwhelming. And there's no shame in that. It happens to us all. But it was like, the thing about God is that he will do that. And then not only will he chastise you, but he will prove it. I'm like, he's like, you don't believe me? Let's see. So after that service, I went to work the next day, and I was still working for my sister. I was watching my sister's kids, and, you know, I get there at 6:30. I'm off at 5:30. It was a long day. I love those kids to death, like they're my own, but it was very taxing. on my body. And I had about $33 in my checking account that day. And after God chastised me, I made a promise to God that I would never rely on my family. My family, I had used as a crutch. I always borrowed money. Like, I always knew that I can go to them. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But for me, I could not truly trust and have faith in God because I was always trusting and having faith in my family or even in myself to fix things. And so I left work. I left my sister's house. And I was literally on empty, and I went to the gas station, and I was just crying. I was like, okay, God, this is my last $20. This is it. So I put it in my tank, and I was like, just prove to me that you're here and that you will do what you said. So I went straight from, I worked in Santa, and I went straight to the church, and I sat outside that church from our church for like 3 hours, just crying. And I went inside after a bit, and I laid on the altar, and I just said, God, I'm trying, and I hope that you see that. And again, I told him, I put $20 in my tank. You know, I have $13 left in my account. I have bills to pay. Bills were coming out the next day. I had no money. And so I was like, I just left it at that, like, just, you know, I'm trying. Just be there. So the next day, I had a friend come over, and they're not in church, but they ended up asking me, they're like, oh, well, how are you doing today? And I was like, oh, I'm doing good. Like, things are great. Things are so great. Life is great. Richly blessed. And they were like, do you need any money? And I was like, no, I'm totally, you know, because I'm stubborn, right? I'm fine. Everything's great. She's like, no, I really feel like you need this. And she handed me a $100 bill. And I started crying. And I was like, thank you. You know, I took that. And I was like, okay, like, God, you're doing something. The next day, I went to work. And, of course, my sister at the end of the day is cleaning out her car. And she's like, ew, this is disgusting. Hey, do you want this? I don't need it. It was a $25 gift Visa card. And the next day after that, my dad, for some reason, just sent me $300. And the next day after that, something else happened. I had totaled it up, I remember, during that week. And it came out to about $1,000. And when you take a step of faith and say, like, okay, God, I'm putting my trust and my faith in you. I can't see it. I can't see what you're going to do. He will prove it to you every single time. Every single time. And then I ended up getting a different job. So then COVID hit, right? COVID hit, and I lost that job. And I feel like it was an out. And if God hadn't really, you know, was teaching me about faith and trust and actually the difference between the two, I think I would have crumbled. I truly think I would have crumbled because I lost the job and my family was like, you'll be fine, just go on unemployment. And I lost my health insurance and everything. And I said this before, I brought this up in my testimony before, but I petitioned God. I went to the church the day I lost my job. I petitioned him. And I was like, God, I think this is the out that you had promised me that I would have of that job. I pray that you provide an opportunity soon that only you and I will know about. And I was praying this in my car outside the church. And I was with Misha at the time. She was praying inside the church. So when we left, we're leaving the church parking lot. And, of course, Brother Sean and Sister Jeannie rolled up into the parking lot. And she was like, how's your job? What happened? And I'm telling you, like, I just knew. I just knew that I'm like, this is the opportunity. The next day, I, you know, turned in my resume. And it was a couple weeks later, I got a job. And now within 6 months, I've been promoted. I got a raise. Like, God, he loves to prove things. He loves to show you that, hey, you do these things right and you put your faith in me. He will prove it to you every single time. And then one last thing. As Brother Sean mentioned last night, I do live here at the Younger Favor home, and this was brought on early in the year. Me and Misha had a feeling like, oh, okay, I think God is taking us in different directions. And but we didn't know what it was. We did have a meeting with Pastor, and he was just like, God is in this, and, you know, we'll be praying about it. And I don't know why things had to happen the way they happened, but I felt that I had to move out, and it was hard. A lot of you know that I do have two kitties, and Brother Chewy and Sister Biddy, and a kind one of my best friends in the world, Sister Margarita, with her heart of gold, took it upon herself to take in my kitties, and they have the best life there. I truly believe that. Like, they're her cats, and they're really, really happy. And God just works everything out. When you put your faith in Him, it's just amazing what He will do and how He can flip your life upside down, it seems. But it's all for the good and the glory, and it's all for our growth and learning. And I can't be more thankful and more grateful to what God is doing in our church and God will be doing in our church. The unity that I have felt these past couple of weeks has been nothing short of just wonderful. I feel so much closer to everybody, and I hope and pray that this message was just encouraging to someone, because if it's encouraging to at least one person, I feel like I did my job. And I did it, God, some justice. So I'm going to hand it back to you, Brother Vic. Thank you.
And thank you, Sister Krista. What a blessing. What a word that we heard this morning. I made several notes here. I don't even know where to start. But first of all, I want to say, Krista, thank you for opening up with a lot of your history or the examples that you've given this morning. I want to start with this. Let's read the definition of trustworthiness. As Sister Krista began, I went ahead and looked up the definition of trustworthiness. The ability to be relied on as honest and truthful. The ability to be relied upon as honest or truthful. And Sister Krista, we want you to know that we see you and God sees you as honest and truthful. Sister Krista didn't talk about this today, but she has several health challenges, and I hope you don't feel bad me bringing this up, Sister Krista.
No, not at all.
But Sister Krista is not one to complain. She's not here to complain, I have all these issues and I need help and this and that. She didn't even talk about that today, but the Lord knows about it. And with all these health challenges that Sister Krista has had, she's continued to be faithful. And as a result of that, she's become trustworthy in the eyes of God. One last thing I want to say about Krista is, at the very end, she mentioned that she has sensed a great spirit of unity here recently. And boy, that has been the word that has come up in the last several weeks as we've gotten together on our Saturday morning evangelism prayer meeting. There is a great bond of unity that is beginning to develop in the church with all the trials, with all the tests, with all the things that people have been going through. The result of that is that people are beginning to lean upon each other. They feel a comfort level and a safety to be able to call out to someone, hey, could you please pray for me? Hey, I need help. And people come running to their aid. And it's just generating this great spirit of unity in the church. Once again, Sister Krista, thank you for opening up. Thank you for your great testimony. We know that it is going to bless someone. Praise God. With that said, church, we're going to go ahead and remind you about our Wednesday night service. That's tomorrow evening. We'll be sending out a text message giving you the details to that service. But in the meantime, please be praying and be meditating upon this great word that we heard from Sister Krista this morning. Praise God. God bless all of you. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.